Thank you guys for coming. Sure has been an incredible week of hearing God's word. You know, the reason things here work, I could tell you a big reason things here work, is because of a statement and believing the statement that I heard by Dr. Werwell many years ago. He said the key to God's word moving is gift ministries working together. And you hear these great men teach and stuff, and there's so much depth behind the lives of these men. They have ministries to the church. What I've seen, nothing more than fighting in the last 35 years or so amongst people who are way more qualified, much more ability than I have. But we work together, we love each other, and we help each other. And that's one of the main reasons we have what we have here. And it is a beautiful sight. If someone were to tell me they didn't like it here, it would indicate a lot to me. Because what's there not to like? People love each other. There's no hierarchy, so to speak. And I love that. And I'm very thankful to be able to be alive and be able to share with such great men, and then being able to share with you. All truth is simple. That's one of the greatest lessons you could ever learn, that we could learn. All truth is simple. Error is complicated as crazy. You know, it's been talked about a lot this week about people's brains and all this. You know, your brains are, my brains aren't overrated, but a lot of yours are. I know I don't know much. And you know what? God can work with someone like that. If you're the one who thinks you know everything and you don't need to study or you don't need to speak in tongues, then I feel sorry for you. I think you probably have a lousy life. But truth is simple. It's simple. It's all simple. The theme verse for this is Ephesians 6:10. It still is, right? That's the theme. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," or in his mighty power. God wants us strong in his mighty power, in his mighty power. And this happens, I think I said it the first night, when we believe God's written word and when we operate the nine manifestations. That is how to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in our solutions about life's opportunities, not strong in any of those kinds of things, but strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, such mighty power. It was manifested today when Adam, or whenever he spoke in tongues and interpreted, whether it was last night or today, I don't know, when Christina Guile spoke in tongues and interpreted. That was God's power. And my friend Cameron interpreting. That's God's power. What's the difference between God healing a headache or AIDS or a broken heart or a devil spirit? To God, it's no problem at all. It is something that we should expect every day. But because of the fashions of the world and the way it goes, and because of all the stuff that's around us, we get too frequently talked out of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a listing of the manifestations, the nine manifestations of the Spirit. And in verse 7 it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The reason that the manifestation of the Spirit is so that people can profit, so that people can benefit, so people can get help from. That's the reason for the manifestations, to profit, to help. For to one, the one prophet is given by the word of wisdom, and another prophet, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another prophet, faith or believing by the same Spirit. To another prophet, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another prophet, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another prophet, discerning of spirits. To another prophet, divers kinds of tongues. To another prophet, the interpretation of tongues. There are the nine manifestations. And it says, but all these manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. Every single born-again believer, from a Baptist to a Roman Catholic to a Methodist, it doesn't matter. Every believer that has Holy Spirit can manifest in a wonderful way these great manifestations of God's Spirit. In the genuine operation of the manifestations, it'll always be God which will get the glory. So oftentimes, too oftentimes, we hear about how great so-and-so is, and he's got, you know, he's the healer and all this stuff. Well, God is the healer, and he's given every believer the privilege and the right to operate gifts of healing. So he would get the glory. He'd be the one who would be the one who would deliver him. Tonight is story time. I want to go to story time. I just like stories. Bible stories are good because they're true. That's why they're good. They're true stories. I also want to make mention and thank everybody who has shared God's word this week. As you can see, it's a diverse bunch, different ways. You know, Kimberly this afternoon, in just her tender way, and she's used to being with two-year-olds, and that's good because we should be like two-year-olds or something. And she just, her tender way, just sharing. Nick's way, Bob, all these people who share God's word, it's so great. I would not want to share God's word like somebody else. I would want to share God's word. And I can remember 18 years old writing down on a piece of paper, I want to be the best Jerry Carr I can be for God. It's still my goal. I want to be the best me. I don't want to be somebody else. I want to be the best Jerry Carr. Whatever Jerry Carr has, I want to be the best. And that's a good thing. But tonight is story time. So if you'd like to take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings, and you can even take your time, you could take your glasses off. You don't have to take notes. You don't even have to read the Bible. I'll read it. Mr. Rogers, here I am. Here's a great record. I'm going to read three records tonight, three wonderful biblical stories. And being they're biblical stories, they're true. One from the Old Testament, which would be 2 Kings here. That's the Old Testament. One from the Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then one from the book of Acts, which again is not the book of thoughts. It's the book of Acts. It's what they did. So in these stories, in these biblical stories, I am just amazed at looking at God's word and seeing how God worked and helped people. See, the reason for these manifestations is to help people. They're not to flaunt ourselves. They are to help others, to help people. Here we have a record in chapter 5 of 2 Kings that is just so fantastic, and I'll do my best to point out the manifestations as they come up. And there's only nine, and in the Old Testament, really, there was only how many? Seven. That's right, because discerning of spirits was there. So discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, gifts of healing, right, and prophecy. So here we go. Now Naaman, verse 1, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a what? Here are some qualifications of this wonderful man, Naaman. Naaman was a captain. He was a great man with his master, and he was honorable. Okay? And he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a warrior. He was a warrior's warrior. He knew how to overcome things. He knew how to charge. He knew how to fight. He knew how to do all kinds of stuff, but he had a problem. He was a leper. He had leprosy, the beginning stages of leprosy. And the Syrians had gone out. By the way, was Syria one of the 12 tribes? No. So the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. A little maid. It could have said anything, but God's word says a little maid. You know what a little maid is? Right. The word little means small. That's what it means. She was a small little maid. And she was a little maid. She got stolen by Syria from the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Oh, man, that must have been nice, huh? For you wives to have a little maid. Follow you around, fold your clothes, you know. Be nice. We need little maids. So, and she said unto her mistress, the wife of Naaman, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Wow. If you were a wife and your spouse had leprosy and you had a little maid who had access to your heart, she must have, and she said, I know somebody who can heal your husband, it would arrest your attention. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel and the king of Syria. So it goes from this wife to now all of a sudden the king of Syria said, go to, go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, what? All this little maid said was, there's this guy who could heal your husband. Now it gets to the king, right? And the king, like all great politicians, he wants to, this had nothing to do with what this little maid said, but the king wants to load it up. Look at what he said. I'll send a letter into the king of Israel. The king of Israel at this point has no clue about this little maid. Probably doesn't even know who the little maid is. Probably think it's the little mermaid. A little maid. What does this king know from a little maid? He doesn't know from a maid. Who does he know, a maid? But all of a sudden he hears there's somebody who can heal this Naaman. So where does he go? Top brass. He goes to the king of Israel. And he goes to the king of Israel and he sent a letter and he sent 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold. I haven't quite figured out what today's value would be. 10 changes of raiment. So this is a good thing. Outfits. Nice. There's some of you that have very nice outfits. I just would like to say that. 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. And the letter said, now when this letter has come into the, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Who said anything about the king recovering this Naaman of leprosy? This is pressure on this Israel king, Mr. Israel king. That's a lot of pressure. All of a sudden, you get a letter, right? And says, you can heal this guy. Here's some money. Here's some clothes. What would you do? What would you do? And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes. And he said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send me to recover a man of leprosy? See, this wasn't the king's job. The king was not a leprosy recoverer guy. This isn't what he did. He wasn't like Monty the minister. You know, he wasn't. He wasn't the guy who healed people. So he's getting this letter about healing, and he goes, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man does send me to recover this man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel. I know what he's doing. He wants to start a fight. He's saying, I can heal him? Well, how dare him? How dare him? Who does he think he is? Meanwhile, little maid just said, there's somebody who can heal your husband. Now you got all these shenanigans going on over here. And verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Now, I don't know. Some of you guys, sometimes, I don't know. But it says he heard. Where he heard, I don't know. It could have been God. It could have been somebody else. But whoever it was, whether it was God or somebody else, he was right on. And he heard about this and he rent his clothes. And he said, let him come to me. He shall know there's a prophet in Israel. So now we finally get to Naaman, who has the problem. He came with his horses, his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Here he comes, his horses, his men. He's got a big posse, man. It'd be like Beyonce. She's got everybody with her, the fur coat person that holds her fur coats for the night. You know, listen, Naaman has a posse. Horses with chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger. You know who that messenger was? Gehazi. Sent a messenger unto him. Elisha's somewhere in the house, and he sent a messenger to Naaman. And he said, go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Let me ask you a question. Is that something that he just pulled out of his ass? That's something God showed him. God showed Elisha what to do to get this man healed. Seems silly. So Elijah sent this messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan. How many times?
Seven times.
And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This is word of knowledge. This is word of wisdom. This is discerning of spirits. And if this man will do those things, he will be healed. So says Elisha by way of Gehazi. See? And guess what? This man who's coming for deliverance didn't say, well, praise the Lord. Whoa, my day of deliverance is here, man. Wow. What a great God. What a great day. What a great time. No. Verse 11, Naaman was wroth. He was mad. He was furious. He was indignant. He was upset. And he went away and said, behold, he will surely come to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman had it all figured out by his 5 senses. He had it figured out. You know why? Because he was smart. He was educated. He knew this is what was going to happen. Well, wait a minute. Who came to who for help? Did Elisha go to Naaman? No, as far as I know, Elisha didn't even see Naaman. He didn't even see him. Not yet at this point. He didn't even see him. He said, Gehazi, go tell Naaman, go wash into Jordan 7 times and you're going to get healed. Naaman was furious. He was just ridiculously mad. And he had it figured out, you guys. He had it all figured out. Just like so many times we make the mistake of doing. We got it all figured out. We got it all. Well, I know what's going to happen. And it's got nothing to do with what God wants. It's got nothing to do with anything with God. But we have it figured out. Really? Make a butterfly tomorrow. Just for the fun of it, just make one. Tell me how that goes. Look, Naaman's mad. He had it figured out. And he's asking his servants, he's saying, are not, verse 12, Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And evidently those waters are much cleaner than Jordan. I don't know. I've never been there. Who's been there? Some of you have, haven't you? You've been there? Steve's been there? Well, that's not very many. Okay. Well, aren't these clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. He didn't change at all. He just stayed mad. Mad. I'm mad. Stomped my feet. And his servants came near and he spake to him. And this Naaman must have been a wonderful man. And I want to tell you why. He's allowing the people that work for him to talk to him. He's allowing them to say, hey, what is they're going to say. And I think that's a tremendous quality that Naaman had. He had it all figured out, but his servants are going to nicely, I suppose, but they're going to confront him. His servants came near. See, when it's a one-man show, when it's just in context, it doesn't work. Well, it might work for a while, but it'll fall apart, and it'll end up in religion, and it'll end up in hardness. Anyway, back to this. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Sure, he'd already had all these gifts for him, as you'll see. How much rather then, when he said that he wash and be clean? And Naaman listened. He listened. Even after he was in a rage, he listened. Sometimes, I know in my life, if I do something wrong and I get confronted, sometimes I get defensive. And I'm not proud of that. But a lot of those times I'll think about it and go, oh, yep. And I'll change. And Naaman changed from being very, very upset. And then his men talked to him and he changed. And he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. He didn't get kind of healed after the 5th time. The revelation was what? 7 times, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And these are manifestations that you and I have been given. You and I have been given freely. All of us. Chris, you. Cameron, you. Of course. And so he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was what? He got healed. He got healed. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came before and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there's no God. Who got the glory? God. There's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take some money, take some this. And who read that yesterday? It doesn't matter. Jesse. But you know what? What I love about these things, too? I get, you know, all these teachings we hear and all that stuff. I forget who teaches them. And, you know, that's kind of cool. Because what we want to do is sing the song. It doesn't matter who sings it. It just matters that it gets what?
Sung.
Very good. Wow. Fantastic. But it is true. So here was a man of God. He had heard of this situation. He said, and this was Revelation 2, bring Naaman to me and I'll heal him. So Naaman came. He had a whole different idea about how it was all going to go down. He had it all figured out. And when he found out, first of all, Elisha never even told him anything. Gehazi told him what to do by way of Elisha. And he fought against it a little bit for a while. Of course, he was mad. His people, his posse talked to him, said what they said. And he finally went and did the will of God, the word of God, which the revelation manifestations are the word of God in a spoken form or however you get it. And he did the word of God. He believed the word of God. And he received the benefits of the word of God. He got healed. What a great record, huh? Simple, nice story, as Dr. Wuerl used to say. But the prophet of this manifestation, these manifestations here, was for sure he got healed, right? He got healed. That's a big prophet. Another prophet was God got the glory. God got the glory. Man, it's great when God gets the glory. It's not so great when people do. But people are glory mongers. They love glory. Oh, it's nice to get the glory. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. And now see this here, what we just read was physical deliverance. It was physical healing that Naaman received, right? He received physical healing. I'll bet you he was happy. I'll bet you his wife was happy. And I'll just bet you that little old maid got a raise. You ever think about these things? What about the maid? I think she might have tapped into some of them clothes that were there for somebody else. I don't know. I don't really know, you know. I don't know. So if you don't know, you don't guess. You just speculate. Just kidding. Mark chapter, that was funny. 5, verse 2. This is a different kind of record. We're going to read about spiritual healing. And you know, there's something. Last night was brought up in Nick's teaching about what's being promulgated in schools. Certainly Jesse goes through that. George goes through that. How many of you are school teachers? Look at that. That's fantastic. What an honorable job. You know, that's an honorable doggone job. Anyway, about how, you know, homosexuality is talked about, transgenitals or whatever it is. I don't know what it's genders. But you know something that Jesus Christ was a master at and that we should be too? He always loved the person and hated the sin. He was able to separate the sin from the sinner. He didn't compromise, but he was able to do that. And that's something that we should always be able to do too, no matter what a person's problem is, because we got plenty of our own. And I hope people do that with me. Chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and he was, this is Jesus. I don't have the red letter here, but I know it was Jesus. He was come out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The tombs was like, to us, was a, what do you call those places? Graveyard. It's the tombs. And they were holes in the wall and stuff like that. They stuck them in with stones and stuff. And so he's coming to greet him out of the graveyard, the tombs. Whenever Diane passes by a graveyard, what do you say, honey?
I hang in there, he's coming back.
Hang in there, he's coming back. That's my girl. So there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know what an unclean spirit is? A dirty one. Yep, that's right. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. He lived in the friggin' graveyard. He lived in the tombs, where the tombs were. And no man could bind him, not with chains. Evidently, he'd had some opportunities, some problems downtown. And they tried to bind him and they tried to chain him, but nobody could do it. Superhuman power he had. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Any man tame him. That kind of, the word tame means restrain. But to me, I think of tame, I think of animals. You tame an animal. Nobody could tame this animal. This spiritually screwed up guy. This guy who was loaded with devil spirits, as we'll see. Nobody could tame him. I knew a guy once who used to be able to break chains like that. Just go like that. Knew that. No man could tame this guy. Something. Verse 5. And this would be a story, you know, like we're in another story, we're in story 2. This would be like a little scary story. There's a lot in these records, you just gotta see it. So, we'll go to verse 5. Always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Boy, I don't know what this crying sounded like, but I've heard devil spirits cry, and it's not a pleasant sound. I've heard them do a lot of things like that. Because, see, this stuff is real. This isn't just Grimm's fairy tales. This is God's word. And this man had a spirit, and he lived in the tombs, and he used to cry, and he cut himself with stones. Normal people, well-rounded folks, we'll call them, don't cut themselves with stones. Normal people don't do it. In your schools, is there a stone cutting yourself class? What? Well, yeah, I know. I know, and that's spiritual, where you cut yourself and all that. But this was a little even beyond that. Cutting himself with stones, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Even the adversary knows that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. How about that? "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." These spirits didn't want to leave. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he, Jesus, asked him, what is thy name? This is all revelation now. Jesus Christ walking with God. Come out of the man, unclean spirit. He asked him, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. This is the spirit answering Jesus Christ, not the man, the devil spirits that he has. And he says, my name is Legion. We're many. Whoa. So there wasn't just an unclean spirit. There was a bunch of spirits there. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. They don't like to leave. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, a bunch of pigs feeding. And all the devil spirits besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. You ever seen a pig? 2,000 of those things. And were choked in the what? They died. And they that fed the swine, their job got a lot easier. They ran away, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So Jesus Christ healed this man, got rid of those nasty devil spirits, whatever they were, those spirits that hounded that man, made that man an animal, made that man live in a tomb, made that man cry out. Whatever those were, they left. And they came to Jesus, 15, and see him that was possessed. They come to Jesus and see that was possessed with the devil. The one who had the legion, the one who had many devil spirits, a big one and a bunch of little ones. And this man was sitting, he was clothed, remember he was naked, and he was in his right, what? And they were blown away. They were astonished, they were afraid, they were just, what? What? This is the guy? He was clothed. He was in his right mind. I don't know how long this man was plagued with those spirits, but probably a substantial amount of time. And all of a sudden, one day, he's healed. He's healed. And not only is he healed of the spirits, but he's in his right mind. That's just, wow, that's incredible, actually. I don't really know what category that would be in, but it's pretty amazing. So, this man got healed, just incredibly blessed. He was clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, please leave, depart out of the coast. And when he was coming to the ship, you know, you can do something like this to help somebody, and you may get criticized for it. You may be told you're crazy. No, I don't think Jesus was crazy. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast, and when he was coming to the ship, and this is, of course, the guy that got healed, coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed, which means asked. He asked Jesus, can I go with you? Can I go with you? Do you understand that? I do. God, wouldn't you want to be with somebody that ministered healing to you and you got completely delivered and you are now in your right mind? Wouldn't you want to be with somebody like that? Gosh, I would attach myself to them. And when he was coming to the ship, prayed if he could be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home and tell your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Signs, miracles, and wonders are something. I was thinking about it today. I was going to change my whole teaching, which is not uncommon, but I was thinking about sharing on witnessing, speaking the word, because a lot of times, many, many times, one of the greatest ways to grow in your operation of the manifestations is to speak the word to people. because God will show you stuff. He'll say, you'll think of verses that you haven't thought of in 30 years. It's amazing. Verse 20, again, it says, and he departed and began to publish. The word publish is that word caruso. He proclaimed like a herald. He published boldly something that had been done. It means to share. It means to speak, to witness. Golly, Pete, man, when I got in God's word, that was it. That was it. I knew I was home. I had to tell everybody about it. Everybody. I hitchhiked to places. Everywhere I knew somebody, I spoke the word to them. In addition to standing on the corner of Santa Clara and Park Street in Alameda for 6 months, for 8 hours a day, speaking God's word, because I knew I was home, I knew I was healed, and I didn't give a damn what anybody thought, because I knew I got healed, okay? And I didn't have a job, so it was easy. I didn't have to take off, in other words. You know, I took off. I'd take a little lunch bag with me. I got a picture of it in my fellowship room of me and George there, that same corner. And that, I think it was taken by a guy. That was taken by Charlie, right? This believer who ended up graduating from the Sixth Corps who had, I know he had 13 devil spirits, and he got completely healed. Now, as a picture he took of me and George, and he's still standing on the word today. But anyway, it's just a great thing. And so many times when we get delivered, man, tell people. You guys that are younger, the old guys don't like to do that as much. You guys, tell everybody at school, I got prayed for, I got healed. Tell everybody, you guys older than them, tell everybody at work you got healed. Tell people that somebody got healed, somebody got born again. Tell them. And so many times when you speak God's word, God will work in you mightily and you'll operate the manifestations like crazy. That's just the way it is, and it's a fantastic thing. It said he published in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Marvel means to be admiring, to be astonished. Really, it means to be blown away, to be amazed. It says in Acts they were astonished at what had happened. You know, it wasn't like they didn't think God could do stuff. You know that. When you get prayed for, you know, and you get healed, you go, holy sugar, I'm healed. And it's not like you didn't expect to get healed, but when you actually are healed, it's like, what a great God. Thank you. Have a nice day, God. I'm happy. Look at the prophet. Look at the benefit of Jesus Christ operating the manifestations. This insane human who was like an animal, possessed with devil spirits, got completely delivered. And not only did he get completely delivered, but he witnessed. He spoke of what had happened to him, what had transpired. Tell other people what God has done for you. And boy, if you don't know, then boy, you better start paying attention. God does a lot for us. Now, we don't have to be the man in the tombs, but we could get something wonderful. It's our expectation. What do we expect? And God will do all kinds of stuff for us. You know, Julie was hurting. She needed to see something. God showed her something. God showed her something. He did that just for her. What'd that do to her heart? You see, boy, it's just not random junk. That's God fighting for his kid. Hey, she'll never forget that. Completely delivered. And then he witnessed to others. And they were blown away by his deliverance. So in Kings, we saw a man get healed physically of the beginning stages of leprosy. Here, we see Jesus Christ ministering to a man who was insane. He was an animal. He was, you know, he was possessed like crazy. And he got delivered of devil spirits. Now go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. You know, Bob shared it, I think, earlier today. This revelation business is things that are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. And it's your operation of it. But if you really think about it in very simple terms, you can't figure out God's solution. You can't. God's solution is either in his written word or a Tim talking to you. So you could spend all the time you want trying to figure about solutions to problems you might have. You're really kind of wasting your time. God is bigger. He is stronger. He is wiser. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. His weakness is stronger than men. If I want the word to move, meaning other people getting into God's word, these manifestations have to happen on a regular basis. And God is willing and he's able. He's willing and able to perform. That's how the word moves. When the operation of the manifestations are happening in our fellowships, in our lives. I said last night on my little rant about how, I've fallen on my face many times, and I have. But I get up, and you know what? I don't care if you see me fall on my face. It's not important to me. I want to do God's will. I do this thing called fellow labors. Years ago, Lisi was in fellow labors, and Lisi had horrible allergies or something, I don't know. And I was teaching God's word, and this happened, she could tell you. And she just couldn't stop sneezing. And she was uncomfortable. It bothered her, and it bothered that we couldn't really get to the word as much. And it was bad. And I said, Lisi, stand on your head. She stood on her head, and she was healed. That is stupid. Right? But if you are the one who has everything figured out, that Benadryl 4 will be the answer. Well, it wasn't that day, and she got healed. So, it's outside of our sense knowledge. Outside of our sense knowledge. Humanly impossible for you by your senses to know. And that's a pretty cool thing, man. And it's, in a way, it's really kind of fun because our sense knowledge isn't that great. I mean, you have sense knowledge to work and make money and stuff. Yeah. But I'm talking about God's solutions about life's opportunities. Boy, that's it. Acts 10, there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. I love it. They had a bunch of mandolins and what are those? Accordions, they were just having a good old time. So Cornelius is a centurion. He oversees 100 of a band called the Italian Band. That's a big band. You have to get everything in tune. He was a devout man. I love this. And one that feared God. He respected God with his whole house, which gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. This man, Cornelius, was a wonderful man. He respected God. He prayed with his family. His whole family respected God. It's like, think of the Cahill family. They all respect God. The whole family respects God. The Webster family. Pick a family here. Their whole family, they respect God. They respect his word. But the difference here is he wasn't born again. He was a Gentile. And this man who was faithful to pray all the time, he saw in a vision, evidently or clearly or openly, about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. What a verse. He saw in a vision. He saw it. The 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a what? Before God. I heard your prayers. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed. So there's an angel. Angels are sent ones from God to deliver a message from God verbatim. There's three angels. Somebody mentioned it the other day. Lucifer, right? Meshach. No, he was He was one of those three that didn't go in the fire. Gabriel and who? Which one is the messenger?
Gabriel.
So that's one of it's either Gabriel or one of his angels. They went to send this message to Cornelius to tell him exactly what to do, where to go, and who to ask for. This is incredible. This is incredible words from God by way of angels. And when the angel was done, and when they're done, they're done. They give the message, that's it. They're done. They're done. They go on recess. He was departed. So Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So Cornelius had servants. And when he had declared all these things to these servants, he sent them to Joppa. Now, you want to talk about an incredible responsibility? This man feared God with his whole house. He prayed all the time. All of a sudden, this angel comes, tells him what to do, where to go, and who to see. And he sends two of his servants. These servants must have been people that he trusted with everything in his life. And he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh to the city. Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So they're headed towards where Peter is. Peter's going on a housetop. And they were flat and they were easy to do, and a lot of people prayed. So he was on the housetop and he was praying around noon and saw heaven opened. Now, you don't go up on your housetop, have a couple prayers, and all of a sudden, this happens. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm sorry, I missed a verse. Did I miss a verse? He went on a journey and drew nigh to the city of Phanar on the housetop around 6 hours, and he became very hungry. Why? It's noon. It's time to eat. But he's up there praying, and he would have eaten, but while they were making ready downstairs, he fell into a trance. He saw a vision. He saw something. What's that word for that? The Greek word? I don't have it. Ecstasis. Thank you. And it's basically a vision. And saw heaven open. And a certain, this is, and I'll tell you something else about Revelation. God, the way he gives revelation to everybody is different because we're different. Something that Chris Chatton could get from God, I could never get. He would show me in a different way in light of our own understanding, see. But Peter, he saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things of the fowls of the air. Now, sometimes, I don't know about you, if I get extremely hungry, I start seeing stuff. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what this was. This was God showing him stuff. It's fantastic truth here. But it is a wild revelation, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. If he would have shown me this, I'd have jumped off the roof. I wouldn't be able to handle that. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, I love Peter, so do you. "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And you know, these things were all things that Israel was not allowed to eat. And God said, kill and eat. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. You know, I don't understand God's grace, but I sure do appreciate it. But, you know, God told him three times. I think same thing. Somebody read the record in 2 Corinthians about Paul, right? All his thorn in the flesh business. Three times, wasn't it? And God said his grace was sufficient to him. Here, three times. And the vessel was received up again to heaven. All this happened, who knows how long. But all this happens, and Peter, verse 17, he doubted. And the word doubted means considered. He considered, he was thinking about what happened. And so oftentimes, when God shows you something, you kind of go, whoa, and you think it over, and it's like, wow. He thought it over in himself what this vision he had seen should mean. And behold, at that very moment, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called. They didn't ring doorbells then. They said, "Hey, is Peter here?" You know, like when me and Diane go walking with Debbie Penna. What do, Chris? I yell across the street, "Debbie!" And she comes running. Is that true or is that not true? That's true. So they called for Peter. He was lodged there, and they called and they asked for him. And while Peter was thinking on the vision, what the revelation that he had given, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go." And how many times in God's word is there a message from God that indicates get up and go? And those that get up and go, when God says get up and go, see great things. Those that sit around and fumble, mumble, and stumble, those that sit around and doubt what the heck is happening, they never see these great things. "Arise, therefore, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I sent them." So Peter went down. So what did he do? He got up and he went down. The men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I'm he whom you seek. Why are you here? What is the cause wherefore you're come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man." And I love these servants. They're telling Peter Cornelius' credentials. A wonderful man. He's a just man, one that feareth God, and his good report among all the nation of the Jews was warned from God. God told him by a holy angel to send for you, Peter, into his house and to hear words of thee. God sent his word and healed him. He chose words to communicate. And as these servants are sharing with Peter what they came for, they said that Cornelius would like him to come there and hear the words of him. Then called he them in. Peter invited them in, lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So people came with Peter. And on the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, Cornelius was waiting for him, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Do you think that Cornelius was expecting Peter to come? Do you? Why? He invited all his friends. Everybody's, and you know the Italians, everyone's there. They got everything cooked. It's a big thing. All his kinsmen, his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter, sometimes revelation can be progressive. You take one drop, then the next drop, and then the next drop. It's a word of knowledge. It's a word of wisdom. It's not all knowledge. It's not all wisdom. It's a word. And as you do first thing, if there's a second thing, there'll be a second thing. You do the second thing, third thing, you know, like that. And so Peter right here took him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Now, that might not seem like much to us, but the Gentiles were as dogs to Israel. So something happened with Peter. He said, "Come on, stand up, I'm a man too." And as he walked with him, he went in and found many, all the Italians, they were all there, and found many that were come together. This wasn't in the revelation. It's progressive. And he said unto them, "You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." It's starting to become clear to Peter. Oh my gosh, no man common or unclean. Here I am with you Italians. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying." And that means he didn't argue about it. He wasn't argumentative. He came. He just came. God said, "Arise and go." And so he got up and he went without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. "I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent me? Why do you want me here? Why did you call me to come to you?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Of course, that was the angel.
and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, who's a tanner by the seaside. You want to talk about specific? Man, oh man, gave him directions. He had the GPS and all that. That's God, God, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately, I didn't waste any time sitting around wondering. No. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. Hey, if the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, then revelation must be also, because that is the word of God. And it's quick and powerful. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear. We want to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Remember when they told Peter why? He said they want to hear the words. Well, here it is. Here it is. To hear all the things are commanded thee of God. And Peter opened up his mouth. And he said, of a truth. And he's getting it. And as he's getting it, he's sharing it. It's amazing. He's getting the revelation and he's sharing it. And he said, he opened his mouth and said it, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God, that's one of the greatest, that is one of the greatest things as believers for us to remember. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respect. He doesn't look at us, our race. He doesn't look at our politics. He doesn't care. He loves us because he loves us. And good gravy, the manifestations that we've been hearing, the worship manifestations, the interpretation of prophecy have just been magnificent. God knows we're here and he's telling us exactly what we need to hear. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. This is Peter getting this revelation. This wasn't like him. He wasn't used to this revelation. This was humanly impossible for him by his five senses to know this. Something. Every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. And you know what he's doing now? He's witnessing. He's speaking the word. He's speaking God's word. That word, there you go. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that means which is power. Holy Spirit, which is power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He is witnessing. He's witnessing about Jesus Christ. He's telling them why God sent him. To heal the sick. To heal the oppressed who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with Jesus Christ. Peter says, and we're all witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Whom God what? He's preaching salvation, people. He's telling them how to get born again, born from above. He was telling them who Jesus Christ was, what he represented, why he came to heal the sick, to get rid of devil spirits, to help people. His salvation was there. And then he said, they hung him on a tree. He couldn't blame the Gentiles for that one. God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, showed him plainly, showed him boldly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, after he rose from the dead, rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. Preach the word, preach the word. Everywhere you go, preach the word. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Jesus Christ's message to the apostles. He'd sent out 70, he sent out 12. He told them to go speak the word. He told them if they didn't like it, shake the dust off. Well, what's the difference? He's telling them what happened. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen of God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Anybody who you got all the Italians. They're getting lathered up, boy. This is some kind of fellowship. Peter is witnessing. He did what God told him. God showed him that of a truth God's known. Man, and he is going for it. He is not hesitating. He is going for it. Boy, when you see a crack of a door open to somebody's heart, you go for it with the word of God. With the word of God, not your sterling personality. With the word of God, with the love of God. Those two things, boy. Woo! That'll get you. Him give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Receive in the manifestation remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, and some say there was many other words spoken, I don't know. Maybe you're smarter than me, but I don't see that. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Which heard the what?
Word.
Which heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it comes. That's how you get born again of God's Spirit. No other way. And that's how we receive the promises of God. We believe it. We believe it. The Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. They really heard it. They listened to it. They believed it. And they of the circumcision, which believed, these were the guys that came with Peter. I think there were six of them. Were astonished. They were blown away, and it was so right on that Peter brought these guys with him, because later on they get a hard time for speaking the word to Gentiles, but he had witnesses with him. But anyway, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit that comes with believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they knew, here is how they knew they were born again of God's Spirit, the next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's the proof in the senses world that you got Christ within, the hope of glory. It's the proof, it's the manifestation of Holy Spirit. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. A man faithful who was not a believer, a man who was a Gentile, considered a dog. He loved God and he prayed. And God answered his prayer by sending him an angel and telling Cornelius what to do. And he sent two. These two people must have been incredible. Two, Peter, told him when to go, where to go, and who to see. And Peter, in the same time period, is seeing this incredible revelation with dogs and cats. I don't know what they were. And God slowly is showing Peter. And then right when all this stuff came together, hey, Peter! Two guys down there. Peter goes down there. He doesn't hesitate either. He gets up. He goes with them to share the words with these people. All revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. In order for this to happen, those manifestations, which were beyond human comprehension, came to pass. And the result of that is you and me are here. If this wouldn't have happened, who knows what would have happened? Except for maybe a couple here who were raised Judean. Anyway, we wouldn't have been here. All because somebody walked with God. Operated the manifestations of the Spirit. So you see, it's simple. And God works with you the way he works with you. And something that I used to hear from Dr. Werwell all the time was, it's a walk, kids, you know. But look at the prophet here. People got born again who never had a chance, the Gentiles. Born again for the first time. In the Gospels, we read a man who was plagued with devil spirits, to the place that he was like an animal, got healed, clothed in his right mind. Naaman, who had an incurable disease, leprosy, healed. Boy, oh boy, all because people listen to God. This was the first time the Gentiles got born again. And the Word of God is so full, and Bob made mention of so many of them today. You know, all the different records in the Word of God where people did humanly impossible things because they believed the God of all possible. The Word of God is so full of records where people operate the manifestation. Somebody will always benefit when these manifestations are operated. It's for a profit. It is to bless. It is to help others. It is to help others. 1 Corinthians 2:12, I'll just read it. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." The spirit that we had when we got born again is the spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us, and that's why we spent this last hour. Part of the things that he's freely given to us is the operation of the manifestation. Just think of the profit. I thought of this early this week when we first got here. If 120 people, which is what we have here, spoke the word to one person for 5 days a week, we'd speak the word to 600 people every week. It'd be pretty neat. What a great, loving, kind, gracious, and powerful God. He's given us freely the ability to operate all nine of the manifestations. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God wants us to be strong in his mighty power, and this happens when we believe. Number one, God's written word as the word and will of God, and number two, when we operate the nine manifestations. So, bless you. That's it.